This is the Quality News Network. Iranian officials say today's press conference with 15 British naval personnel recently released from captivity was staged to cover up Britain's illegal entry into their waters. 15 former hostages say that during detainment by Iran, they were blindfolded, bound, and psychologically pressured into confessing to being in Iranian waters. Now free and on British soil, the group maintains they were in Iraqi waters when detained. The British military has suspended all Persian Gulf boarding operations as a result. An investigation into the incident is underway. Pentagon officials say more than 12,000 National Guard troops could be sent back to Iraq later this year. It'll be the first time full National Guard brigades are deployed in Iraq for a second term. U.S.-led troops battled insurgents in a southern Iraqi Shia stronghold today. Fighting broke out following a dawn raid by security forces. At least one person was killed. 15 were wounded. At least 27 people were killed, 30 others wounded today when a suicide truck bomber crashed into an Iraqi police checkpoint in Ramadi. Police say the attack included the release of chlorine gas. The Pentagon says 8 U.S. soldiers have been killed in the past 3 days within the Baghdad area. In Kabul, 4 Afghanis were killed today when a suicide car bomber struck a police checkpoint there. 4 civilians were wounded. The Washington Post reports recently declassified Defense Department documents show Saddam Hussein did not have a relationship with Osama bin Laden or al-Qaeda. 2,500 scientists from 120 nations agree in a summary released this morning. Up to 30% of the Earth's species face extinction if temperatures rise more than 3.5 degrees above averages from the 1980s and 90s. Said to be the most comprehensive study of its kind, the document was produced by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Residents of the upper Midwest and northern New England are digging out of an unusually heavy spring snowstorm. Schools and roads have been closed. Power outages have been reported. One death is being blamed on the storm. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We'll check science and business news. That's just ahead.
Attention business owners. Getting new customers is now just one click away. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, you got us. It's actually two clicks away with the new MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com is more than an online yellow pages. It's an interactive gateway that connects customers with your business, all in just two clicks. Why continue to pay thousands of dollars on an antique advertising medium, especially one that ends up going into the recycling bin? Make the smart upgrade at only a fraction of the cost. Try for yourself. MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com will put your business in the radar of thousands of potential customers. They'll be able to make reservations online, even print out the map with directions, all in just two clicks. Call 1-800-505-1883 today to find out more about this great new service. The sooner you do, the faster your cash register will start to ring. The number again is 1-800-505-1883. MyLocalYP.com.
A newly released study indicates that children who eat a Mediterranean-style diet appear to have fewer problems with asthma and respiratory allergies. Researchers recommend children's diets contain ample amounts of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and olive oil. Scientists say a rockfish caught by a trawler last month in the Alaskan Aleutian Islands is between 90 and 115 years old. The 60-pound female had ovaries full of developing embryos. Experts estimated the fish's age by counting the rings in its ear. Greenpeace says Apple Computer has the worst environmental record of any important electronic manufacturing company in the U.S. Greenpeace was particularly critical of Apple's recycling and toxic substance programs. Of the 14 companies surveyed, North Carolina-based Lenovo was judged the best. Internet phone carrier Vonage has been court-ordered not to sign up any new customers. A civil jury found the company guilty of patent infringement earlier this year. Vonage is appealing the judge's ruling. The United Steelworkers Union is discussing a merger with Amicus, a major union in the UK. If the merger is approved, the union would become one of the largest in the world, representing more than 3 million workers. Both Wall Street and the New York Mercantile Exchange are closed for the Easter holiday, and you can find more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It is Friday. I am told that it is a particularly good Friday. I've not known many Fridays that weren't good in the first place. But no, this is the what some people refer to as Holy Week, and this particular day is Good Friday. I've never understood the math because it says Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. Then that would mean that if he was crucified on Friday, then Friday night to Saturday night, Sunday night to Monday, then he wrote that the 3 days is Monday. Well, just further proof that the early church couldn't count any better than it could think. But who am I? Nah, it's Good Friday, and you know what? A couple of things just to get started. I can't help thinking about this stuff. I know, I've been very, very religiously oriented all week long. It's because it's Holy Week. Give me a break. But I got to thinking about it. But by the time Yeshua, the brown-skinned, rabble-rousing Palestinian day laborer, was crucified, there had probably been in excess of 50,000 crucifixions in the Roman world. Think about that. In the Spartacus revolt, Crassus, one of the Roman leaders, one of the two consuls, marched a few legions south into the boot part of Italy, and finally, after almost getting embarrassed a couple of times, finally defeated the Spartacus rebellion. And the road he took to get there, and the road that he took to come home, was the Via Appia, or as we call it, the Appian Way. One of the greatest and earliest of the Roman roads. And in going home, Crassus stopped his army. Well, it didn't really stop the army. But he staggered things out in such a way that about every 100 feet he stopped and crucified a couple of Spartacus rebels. They were, of course, as naked as the day they were born when they were crucified. And the crucifixion was developed, utilized by the Romans, not because it was a particularly efficient way of executing someone. It was timber-intensive, for starters, and timber was, of course, one of the most valuable resources of the ancient world. No, this was done because it was brutal, and it was meant to serve a message. And that message was that you don't mess with Rome. And so by the all the way up the Appian Way, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of rebel slaves were crucified. And crucifixion was an an ordinary daily event for troublemakers and rabble-rousers in the Roman provinces as well. So I'm hard-pressed. Well, I don't know. I think as much about the people who were slaughtered, other people who were slaughtered by crucifixion, as I do about Yeshua. Because in almost all the cases, victims of crucifixion were deemed to be enemies of the state. They were, in fact, political executions. Thousands upon thousands upon their thousands. Not necessarily for stealing or rape or murder or mayhem or arson, but for simply going against the grain of the state. And so, you know, the idea of crucifixion couldn't have been something that came as a surprise to Yeshua. He knew where he was headed. He knew what was coming for him. And moreover, this gives credence to the Judas Gospel. Because in the recently discovered Judas Gospel, basically Jesus pulls him aside and says, "Listen, I've got a really dirty job for you. You're going to have to hand me over to the Romans. Because if you don't, they're never going to pay enough attention to come and kill me. And somebody's got to kill me." And so Judas took the task on, and Jesus, Yeshua, went ahead and said to him, "Look, people are going to hate you for this. They are going to despise you for this. They're going to loathe you for this. But I'm giving you this job because you get it, Judas. You get it. You understand. You have what would have been used, I think, in the Greek terms. You have the gnosis. You have the knowledge." And so the most famous crucifixion in the world came about. In another 35 years or so, there would be so many crosses outside Jerusalem that they became almost numberless. And out of that, out of those thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people crucified for little more than differing with the government, we remember one person. We remember one person's name. By the time the Gospels got around to being written, the writers of the Gospel couldn't even be bothered to note the name of the other two people who were crucified at either side of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer. The brown-skinned Palestinian worker. No other names are remembered. Only one. Of course, it was... was it the comedian Bill Hicks who said that if Jesus came back, he'd freak out seeing all the crosses everywhere? And, "Oh, they're going to do it. They're still doing it. They're going to do it to me again." This is... Somehow... And I'm not trying to step in it. I'm not trying to offend anyone. Somehow, though, remembering at this time of year only the crucifixion of Christ, that wasn't his name, only remembering the crucifixion of Yeshua, only remembering that, is like only remembering Anne Frank when we think about the Holocaust. It is the sheer force of the numbers by themselves that create the horror. Rome prided itself for its civic accomplishment, its citizenship, its ability to live without a king or a ruler of some sort. It prided itself on its res publica. And yet never on the face of earth until perhaps the Inquisition and then the Holocaust has a more brutal system of government been seen. And yet we revere them for their civilization because they built some awfully nifty aqueducts. And so around the world today, now, let's do, please remember, this is Roman Easter coming. I know that would probably hang in the craws of the Southern Baptists and the Church of Christ and the Pentecostals and whatnot. But this is Roman Easter. The Orthodox won't get around to Easter for a couple of more weeks, I don't think. The church can't even agree when to commemorate the crucifixion of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer. And millions of people around the world this Roman Easter will mark, commemorate, celebrate. See, this is about the slaughter of a worker. And they'll celebrate it because they think that after he was killed, he got up and walked away. And somehow or another, I can't wrap my mind around the death of one person without thinking of all the thousands and thousands of thousands and thousands of others. Because the story of humanity is a story of brutality, a story of horror. Out of the crucifixion of one human being would come the pogroms of the Middle Ages and the slaughters wholesale of people of Jewish faith. And the blood libel, the claim, for instance, that Jews had to capture Christian babies to use their blood to make matzah for the Passover meal. For me, as I have frequently said, it is all, and I do mean all, perspective. We mark one death and ignore the millions upon millions upon millions that flowed from it as the Roman Church and other churches wholesale slaughtered entire populations because of one crucifixion out of thousands upon thousands of others. But around the world, people will sit down Sunday afternoon to a delicious meal, lamb, egg lemon soup is a traditional deal, and celebrate the brutal state-sponsored murder of one man. The perspective changes things a little bit, doesn't it? And yet, you know, what was it, a few days ago? I forgot to get the audio. Daggummit! A few days ago, a couple of nights ago, William Donahue, a freak among freaks, head of the Catholic League, appeared on the white hair, blue eye, Anderson Cooper, appeared on that program on CNN and declared to the artist Cavallero, who sculpted the chocolate Jesus. I mean, I watched this at Crooks and Liars, and my eyes sort of rolled back in my head as he declared that if he had the opportunity, he, William Donahue, would decapitate Cavalheiro for his heresy against Christ. Declared that he wanted to bankrupt him. He wanted to ruin him. He wanted to destroy him. And nothing changes. We will commemorate the execution of a worker by the state. And a freak like William Donahue will use that as an excuse to pray for more death, more misery, more destruction. Kind of boggles the mind, doesn't it? But no, okay, so that's my little reflection on Good Friday, which I think we should probably be noting on Good Thursday if you do the math. But there's so much more. But oddly enough, you know, I don't know, maybe people are sick of the religion thing for the week. I've done a bunch of Wednesday prayer meeting shows where we never got around to any religious freak stories, even though they were there. Because we are up to our eyeballs in the stuff that flows out of this hatred engendered by a morally bankrupt, ethically dead, organized church. The Iraq War? Well, organized, at least one organized religion said, go to it, George. Corporate depredations? A lot of the justification for that flows out of nothing more than plain old-fashioned Protestant Calvinism, where God makes you rich because you're part of the elect. In the stack this evening, I've got the story about Dick Cheney reasserting that Saddam was in business with Al-Qaeda. He calls himself a Christian and stands up and lies and lies and lies and goes on Flush Flemball's program, hangs out with a known junkie and lies and lies and lies. You know, if my understanding of the Roman Catholic faith is correct, Christ is still in hell, suffering for all of our sins. And every time someone sins, he has to suffer a little bit more in hell. What, if you buy into it, what has George Bush and Dick Cheney done to the suffering Christ in hell? With their bombs, and their Striker vehicles, and their Humvees, and their Tomahawk cruise missiles. What have they done to the suffering Christ atoning for sins in hell? What have the people who voted for George Bush and Dick Cheney done to the suffering Christ in hell? What is the level of agony required to atone for the sins of Dick Cheney, George Bush, Condi Rice, Richard Pearl, Richard Armitage, Paul Wolfowitz, Colin Powell, Stephen Hadley, Donald Rumsfeld, Robert Gates? What is the level of agony required to atone for that? It is incomprehensible, isn't it? 24 minutes past the hour. We will go to the phones. By the way, if you call, I'm just going to stick you on hold because Agnes isn't really taking Good Friday off. You know, I said yesterday evening, Jesus worked on Good Friday, so will we. But the fact of the matter is, she's off taking the Munchkins to a school dance this evening, so... that's just how it works out. Let's go to the phones. I have no idea who we have. Who is it?
It's Bob from North Dakota.
Hey, Bob.
You named them very well. You named them very well. Evangeliers. Evangelize for anything. Evangeliers, Bob.
Yep.
That's what they are. They're evangeliers. They lie. They lie like a rug, and then they go over to Baghdad and buy them, you know, so they can sweep all their filth under the rug. You know, they go over to Baghdad with helicopter gunships, and they got these Black Hawks, and they got 150,000 Marines, airmen, sailors protecting them, and they lie, Bob. They lie. Evangeliers. And they are what Christ warned us about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they are what Christ went into the temple and threw out. The money changers, he threw them out, and they crucified him for it. He threw them out, and they cannot stand the fact that they have been thrown out of the kingdom of God, or whatever they believe to be a God, by God himself, because they say Jesus is God. And I said, no. Jesus is a representation, like Martin Luther King was. He's a representation. He's just a man that stood up and told the truth. That's a fact. And they have deified him. He didn't ask for deification. He didn't ask to be made into this creature that they've turned him into, this Rambo Jesus that they got strapped to the front of their tanks, killing innocent people in Iraq, killing innocents. That is not what Christ came to earth for, if he ever did. I don't know it for a fact. I just hope, and maybe I wish that there had been this representation of this invisible cloud being that came down here and said, "Hey guys, hey, stop fighting." He didn't try to make Caesar better. He says, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, unto God what is God's." That is all that he ever really said that made any sense. Render unto the government your taxes, because it's nothing.
Well, you know, one of the things that I can't help thinking about, Bob, is that at the time period we're talking about, Palestine was occupied by the Romans. Of course, it was a semi-independent kingdom under Herod, but he answered to Rome. And the Jewish people who lived there yearned for their freedom, as they had frequently yearned in Syrian, Assyrian, or Babylonian captivities. I forget who all captured them.
But anyway, the
messianic prophecies that are handed to them in their holy books keeps telling you, somebody's going to come along and he's going to restore you to your freedom. Well,
mm-hmm.
As is so often the case, people can only imagine their freedom coming, and this is what makes a man like Gandhi or a man like Martin Luther King so profound and such a change upon the face of the human condition. People can only imagine their freedom coming via violence.
So
Yeshua was surrounded by groups that were violent like that. There were, among other things, a group called the Sicarii. You familiar with those, Bob?
No, really.
Okay, the Sicarii were a group of zealous, murderous, terrorist Jewish cross-dressers.
Mm.
They dressed as women, and they went among the Roman soldiers, and when they got close enough, they'd pull out a dagger and run it through the average legionnaire and kill him.
Yeah.
Not too far, not that far distant from the Iraqi insurgent of today.
Absolutely. That's a truth. That is a truth. I mean,
and so what would what you had there is you had an incredibly violent culture that was absolutely self-absorbed with, I got to look out for me because the Romans might bust through the door and kill me tomorrow. and at the same time looking for somebody to come along, rouse up enough people to form an army and kill all the Romans and run them out. And that was just stupid. Because there were a lot more Roman legions. I mean, for every Jewish zealot, you could kill 10 or 100 legionnaires, and there'd be 1,000 legionnaires to replace everyone that got killed. Okay? So that
we're
is...
We're talking ancient history, right?
Yeah, but
no, stop for a moment.
Well, no, please, let me finish.
Yeah.
All right? Because there's a point here. I'm not just rambling.
Okay. What's the point?
Into that situation comes Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
who recognizes, as Gandhi did, who recognizes, as Dr. King did, that you can't win these people fighting them, because they can all they got a lot more to get killed than you do.
Right.
You cannot win this fighting these people. You can, however, win your freedom. You can win your self-respect, you can win your autonomy by not fighting them.
Right.
And as a consequence, you know, you got Jesus standing.
Yeah,
he's standing there and says, yeah, look,
I'm always free, Bob. No one takes freedom from me. I'm always free. I cannot be less than what I am. I'm a free man. I take nothing from anyone, and I respect all. I do not, you know, it's kind of like, okay, I was talking to you earlier, and I said, okay, this is Good Friday. This is Good Friday, and Good Friday represents the day that they laid this deity into the tomb after he had been crucified. Am I not correct?
That's the way I understand it, but the math doesn't work for me.
Well, okay. Well, today they buried him, okay? And in 3 days, he's, poof, there he is back again. But what I'm saying is this. No one can take freedom from me. I can only relinquish it. I can only quit being a free man, a person that does not accept everything that I hear and only half of what I see. See, Bob, if I see something, it doesn't mean it actually exists. It just means that I saw something. You know, it's kind of like, okay, I was spraying some varnish on some woodwork, and I saw a flaw. I saw something wrong with my own work. And tomorrow I can look at it again. If the flaw isn't there, I don't have to worry about it. But if it's still there, if that flaw is still there, maybe a bubble or a speck, then I can sand it out and redo the work that I started doing. And that's what Christ, this special being, was trying to, I think. I don't know for a fact, because I never met him. I've only heard about it, you know, was trying to parlay to all of us that, okay, you start a work. You don't complete it in a day. You don't complete it in a week. You don't complete it in a year. You complete it over a lifetime. And maybe if you really are faithful to your own work, it doesn't matter whether it's democracy or whether it's a republic or whether it's some other kind of government, if that is your work, if you actually are faithful to that work, then that work at the end of your day will be accomplished. And that is what he tried to say on the cross. You know, kind of like, you know, it's your will be done, not mine. I work as hard as I can, and these wogs, these republicans, they don't listen to me for nothing. But I've tried to do your will, Father. He didn't say God in heaven. He says, Father, I have tried to do your will. And if I do my Father's will, I do this. I give to this nation and to the people of this earth my strength. And that's what he tried to give them, is his strength. And and they took it and they turned it into something else, Bob.
Yeah, arguably something obscene.
Something obscene. And a chocolate Jesus is better than one that goes Rambo Jesus? Come on. This thing that I heard Mark Levine talking on the other night with this gentleman from the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
about how they evangelize. Even the generals evangelize the troops, try to turn them into their religion. Now, Christ never said anything about, you know, I'm the religion. No, he said, I am the way. Okay?
And what was the way, Bob?
The way was
nonviolence
and love and giving and caring. It had nothing to do with bombing.
And the sad thing is that message is still being missed to this day. I've said a few times, I've queried, I suppose, as we look at the difficulties between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Yep.
The Israelis have profound, tremendous power. They have helicopter gunships. They have tanks. They have brigades of infantry and a vast military industrial complex. The Palestinians have rocks and bombs that have nuts and bolts and pieces of broken glass in them.
Absolutely.
Now, as it was with the ancient Romans, so it is today with the Israelis. The Palestinians can never beat them. Okay. However, one must ask, where is the Palestinian Gandhi? Where is the Palestinian Dr. King? Where is the person who will teach the Palestinians that if they would ever be free, they've got to learn to stop fighting the Israelis, and they have got to humiliate the Israelis just as Gandhi humiliated the British and Dr. King humiliated the American governments of the southern states and the federal government.
Absolutely. But, hey, Bob, where was the world when Warsaw went down?
Sure.
Yeah. Where was it when the children hid in the latrines, just dug themselves into piles of human excrement? Where was the world then? They were wrapped up in this idea of some kind of a genetic super race. Even in this country, we had something called, I think it was the Bund.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Bund.
Das Bund.
Yeah, we had it here in the United States, and Das Bund lives. It exists. It still is here in the United States of America. It did not die when we, the United States of America, and the rest of the world took down the Nazi regime and the Imperial Japanese. It did not die. We imported them here to become what our next we became them. They did not die. We are them, Bob. We are them. No, I'm saying that every red blooded American that believes in the Constitution has been usurped by these people. You don't realize it because you listen to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or one of those Reich wing, and I mean Reich. I mean, you're in the Fourth Reich, not the Third. You are being taken into this, what was that thing Malloy did, the 1984? Well, it's 2006. Seven folks, and you are in that twisted, ugly little mess. And if you want to listen to the these pundits, these pasty faced, ugly little half humans, because I never see all of them. I only see them from the waist up. I mean, I don't know if they're diddling each other under the chairs.
Ew,
huh?
Ew.
Ew, yeah, it scares me. It scares you, too. But see, that's how bad it is. These creatures that you watch on that TV set and listen to on the radio that tell you this is the way it is, are liars, and that's why I call them evangeliars. They come out to lie and, you know, drag you. And I had a couple come to the door today, and they dinged the bell, and I went to the door, and they're standing there with their little pamphlets and stuff, and the guy got it out, and he says, I'd like you to have this here watchtower thing. And I says, boy, I've told you guys so many times, don't come on my property. Don't come here. Don't come here with your evangelizing. And I says, before I set my dog on you, you get your butt off my property, or I, by God, will set the dog on you. And you take that witch you brought here with you now. They was running for the car, and I said, don't ever come back. Tell your brethren and your all those evangelizers, I don't need it, I don't want it, and I don't care to hear it. I don't want to listen to your garbage. I didn't say it that way. I was a little rougher with them than on the net, because this is, like I said, family radio, and you got to listen. You got to listen. I stood up and I said, get ye hence, thou foul spirit. Get thee hence, thou foul republican. Get thee hence, thou foul Christian. Get thee hence, and get thee hence fast, because we're coming, and we're coming strong. We're sick of your garbage, your lies, and you evangeliers, you Billy Grahams, you Ed Schultzes, you filthy liars. We're coming, and we're waking up, and we will not be denied. We will have our day. Maybe 100 million of us will go to our grave before you are gone from this earth, but Republicans, Republicans, you filthy, filthy, lying thieves, will be gone in the name of Yahshua, in the name of God. You will be gone, and you have no worth on this planet nor in the universe. There is no place for you. You have nothing to give. You only take. You do not give love. You do not give respect, and you do not give. You just take. And it's time for you to go. Like, what was that guy's name again?
Which?
Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember that when they said it's time for them to go? Well, they were ahead of their time, because now it is time for the Republicans to go. It's time for these filthy Republicans to just go away and never be...
Get out of the way and let us fix what's broken.
Yes, let them go away. I mean, let them just be gone from existence. We do not need Republicans. What we need are people...
Patriots.
And
Americans.
Lovers of the earth. Like my good friend John Fox says, green people. People that believe in a green earth, a good green Mother Earth. And I give to him and to you the most wonderful idea that this is not the resurrection day. This is the resurrection of the idea that the earth is eternal. Man is not. And if we keep going the way we're going, the earth will continue, and we will not. We will become extinct very soon if this Republican, filthy government that we allow to drag us deeper into this filth.
I know.
So, to you, my friend, and I'm sorry I couldn't speak to Sweet Agnes tonight, but I would say to her...
She's dancing.
Ah, just thank you, girl. Thank you for being there for Bob.
And all right. Thank you, Bob. Thank you very kindly.
Well,
I just
had a call because it's the last time I'm going to talk to you until next
Monday.
Till next, well, Monday?
Yeah.
I'm welcome to call again?
Well, sure, why not? We'll talk to you soon, Bob.
Love you and the folks.
You too. Take care.
We'll see you later.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, then. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Water roll in, water roll out, wash us in your ebb and flow. Take these words out of my mouth, drown them in the undertow. River running out of Eden, take me to the other side. I got a head full of damned old misery and a heart full of foolish pride. In the heat of anger, I went and broke my baby's heart.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
Now I'm walking.
are back 10 minutes before the hour, and without any ado or delay or anything else, we go straight to the phones. Our good buddy Roy calling from Texas. Hey, Roy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing good.
Glad to hear it.
We seen Mary's kidney specialist doctor yesterday.
Uh-huh.
They've been scared that she might have to go on dialysis.
Oh.
And so we've been seeing him now for since October, and he's been doing lots of different tests and everything like that. Went in yesterday, and she got a really, really good report. He was glad everything was the way it was. Told her that she wasn't a candidate for dialysis, and keep going the way she was. Everything should be fine. Even extended the next appointment out to 6 months. And he went on and on and on about how proud he was that she had followed his instructions, done well, and everything like that. And then he just looked her right straight in the eye and said, "You must vote Democrat." She said, "I certainly do."
Oh,
I am so glad. He said, "I came here from Boston, and this being in Texas with these people that think their opinion is the only one that accounts, then they have to put the religion on you too." He said, "This is a little bit hard to take."
I can imagine. Yeah, it's a little bit of a culture shock, Boston to Texas, isn't it?
I'm telling you. But he is, he's a good doctor, and I was very, very surprised that he had anything to say about politics. But we went on and talked a good bit about it, and it was pretty fun.
Good deal, and Mary's doing better then.
Oh yeah,
doing wonderful.
Better. And so anyhow.
Well, how about you? You holding up okay?
You're doing good. Doing good. Man, I had to laugh this afternoon on CNN. They were getting desperate. They were down to the point that the Repubs might have to start considering and draft Cheney. And they were wondering how desperate would they have to be to do that.
Oh Lord, I saw that editorial in the New York Sun the other day suggesting that Cheney should run for president, and you know my first inclination was to laugh. The horror, Roy, can you imagine 4-8 years? Oh my God! I mean. It's beyond my ability to comprehend it. Of course, you know, the good side of that, Roy, is that, you know, he has the approval rating of, you know, plague.
I'm not even sure that he has an approval rate. There's probably 2 or 3 Repubs somewhere that so damn squinty-eyed Republican that they wouldn't change one way or the other, you know.
Well, I mean, we know that there is some weird little hard cancerous knot of anti-Americans who still support Dick Cheney because,
oh, yeah.
Otherwise, that junkie in Florida wouldn't bring him on his radio show.
Uh-huh.
And you know, they blathered back and forth, and Cheney said, "Yeah, definitely Al Qaeda working with Saddam." Blah, you know, and they do this stuff in the face of fact-based reports, Roy, that say, you know, once again, let us reiterate that Saddam had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. But anyhow, then they come on about those British hostages that have been released. And some of those, I'm not even sure who it was on there. They should have fought to the death. My God, they should not have been taken. Like, oh, my Lord. you think one of them son of a bitches is fired to the death? Old Cheney, he was getting his 5 deferments, and Bush was drunk, snorting coke, and God knows what.
Hanging out in Montgomery.
Yeah, you got it. Oh, my Lord.
No, there's no, see, fight to the death is something that other people do, not Republicans.
Yeah, and I'm telling you what, you have 15 British sailors out there on a little rubber raft in the ocean, and surrounded, it wouldn't take a hell of a lot of sense to figure out what you had to do.
Yeah, and of course, the other thing, that it would appear that they were not mistreated by the Iranians. They repudiated everything that they said in front. And, you know, that's sort of the way things work. You get, they roll the camera on you, and you say what they want you to say, and then you go, I don't know, do you remember the Mayaguez incident? Or the Pueblo?
Yeah.
The one where they took, I can't remember which one it was, but it was, they took the pictures of all the captives, and they're all sitting there shooting the bird at the camera, and they tell the Korean cameraman, oh, that's a good luck sign.
You do
what they tell you, and you know there's nothing to indicate that these British sailors were subjected to any form of abuse or.
Well,
or
they're saying on TV now this afternoon that they were made to say what they were. They were blindfolded. They was made to sleep in 6x8 stone room deals on just blankets, and oh, you know.
Were they? I'm just curious because I haven't seen all the account, Roy. Did they talk about being hung up by their wrists from bars, or being subjected to brutally cold temperatures and incredibly loud noises, and forced to stand or sit or squat for hours upon hours upon hours on end? Were they subjected to any of that?
Nope.
Huh. I'll be darned.
Yep.
I guess we're the only ones that do that.
Oh yeah. I'll be great. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, you know, I hate it when we lose these PR battles.
But it's awful, awful, stupid, hard to watch a lot of it.
Oh, and I've got some sound from some stuff in the next hour that was stupid and hard to watch. But I'm going to subject you guys to it anyway.
Okay.
All right. Roy, so glad to know that Mary's doing well, and glad to know that you're doing well. You guys have a wonderful weekend, all right?
I'm glad we got a Democrat doctor that...
you might be able to trust the guy.
Yeah. And,
oh, I'm sorry. We're gonna have, yeah, because if he was a Republican doctor, I'm sorry, we're gonna have to cancel your appointment. I've got to go place a stock trade.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You take care, Roy.
Goodbye.
Bye now. Our good buddy Roy in Texas. Good to know. Very good to know that Mary is on the mend. Well, you know how it works. I talk. You talk. You make the phone ring. I can't make the phone ring. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. That's your job. We'll be back after the news. Your calls, your thoughts, and yeah, I got some real icky audio coming for you. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Well, if you don't like what the big chief said, it's just a shot from old feet down here. Shot from old feet down here. Shot from old feet down here. If you don't like what the big chief said, it's just a shot from old feet down here. Hey, my brother, John is gone. Hey, now,
this is the Quality News Network. The U.S. administration has acknowledged for the first time that climate change is a global challenge. A delegate to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change made that statement today after the organization released its summary on global warming. Among its findings, up to 30% of Earth's species face extinction if temperatures rise more than 3.5 degrees above averages in the 1980s and 90s. And now back on British soil, 15 sailors and Marines say they were in Iraqi waters when they were surrounded and seized by Iran. The statement contradicts their purported confessions shown on Iranian television during their captivity. British ministers say those so-called confessions appeared coerced. Britain has suspended all Persian Gulf boarding operations. It is also launching an investigation into the incident that led to the capture of those Marines and sailors 2 weeks ago. Pentagon officials say more than 12,000 National Guard troops could be sent back to Iraq later this year. It'll be the first time full National Guard brigades are deployed in Iraq for a second term. At least 27 people were killed and dozens of others wounded today when a suicide truck bomber crashed into an Iraqi police checkpoint in Ramadi. Police say the attack included the release of chlorine gas. The Washington Post reports recently declassified Defense Department documents show Saddam Hussein did not have a relationship with Osama bin Laden or al-Qaeda. The documents contradict the Bush administration's continuing insistence that al-Qaeda was active within Iraq prior to the 2003 invasion. International aid groups say disease is increasing significantly within temporary encampments set up to assist victims of the Solomon Islands tsunami. Officials say fresh water, medicine, and improved sanitary facilities are essential to prevent the deaths of islanders, especially children. And a French tourist and his daughter are still missing after a cruise ship sank. That one sank off the Greek island of Santorini. 1,600 passengers and crew were evacuated as the ship took on water after hitting some rocks. And federal security auditors report over the last 3 years, the IRS has lost nearly 500 laptop computers containing taxpayer information. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to RightCarRightPrice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to RightCarRightPrice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A space tourist is set to lift off tomorrow for a trek to the International Space Station. Charles Simonyi reportedly paid about $25 million for a 13-day trip. Two cosmonauts are also making that journey, but they'll stay on board the ISS for 6 months. The list of pet foods being recalled due to contamination is growing. The massive recall now includes dog biscuits, puppy chews, and wet food sold earlier than originally reported. The full recall list is available on the web. And the company that produced the contaminated peanut butter last year says an internal investigation reveals moisture at its Georgia factory contributed to the growth of salmonella. 400 people around the country got sick after eating that peanut butter. A newly released study indicates that children who eat a Mediterranean-style diet appear to have fewer problems with asthma and respiratory allergies. Researchers recommend children's diets contain ample amounts of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and olive oil. Scientists say a rockfish caught by a trawler last month in the Alaskan Aleutian Islands is between 90 and 115 years old. Both Wall Street and the New York Mercantile Exchange are closed today for the Easter holiday, but there is more news at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, you are. Five and a half minutes past the hour. Bob is who I am. I am Bob. And this is the Good Friday. Well, it's kind of gray outside. It's really a so-so kind of Friday here. I'm sorry. I'm just baffled by the religiosity. Let's see. The guy we worship got brutally murdered, and this is the day we commemorate it. And we're going to call it a good day. Lordy, what would you have done if they disemboweled him? Exquisite Friday! Holy cats. So I did. I promised you some really, really awful audio. And I'm going to do it, too. I had to sit here and listen to it. I'm going to share it with you. Because there's relevance to it beyond the content of it itself. Now, this audio is admittedly a day old. Okay? This comes from the Don Imus show. You're familiar with Don Imus, of course. Just like Flush Flimball, an old junkie. And apparently, our good buddy Luke in Knoxville and I had a little conversation. I guess it was Thursday night about the women's NCAA basketball finals between Rutgers and the University of Tennessee. The Lady Vols triumphed, and it was a bruiser of a game too. I mean, it really was. No getting around that. But on the other hand, Luke and I didn't go where Don Imus went in his show on Thursday morning. You kind of just got to hear this to believe it.
So I watched the basketball game last night between a little bit of Rutgers and Tennessee, the women's final.
Yeah, Tennessee won last night, seventh championship for Pat Summitt. Man, they beat Rutgers by 13 points.
Some rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and
some hardcore hoes.
That's some nappy-headed hoes there. I'm going to tell you that now. Oh, man, that's some... Ooh. And
you heard that, right?
The girls from Tennessee, they all look cute, you know, so like kind of like a, I don't know.
Spike Lee thing.
Yeah.
The Jingaboos versus the Wannabes, that movie that he had.
Yeah, it was a tough,
do the right thing.
I don't know if I'd have wanted to beat Rutgers or not, but they did, right? So.
Okay. Was this an attempt on the part of Don Imus, the junkie, and his... overpaid, highly well-paid, just disgusting little sidekicks to see how much garbage they could work into just one little segment? One more time.
So I watched the basketball game last night between a little bit of Rutgers and Tennessee, the women's final.
Yeah, Tennessee won last night, seventh championship for Pat Summitt. Man, they beat Rutgers by 13 points.
Some rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and...
Some hardcore hoes.
Some hardcore hoes, just in case you're missing it.
That's a nappy-headed hoes there.
Nappy-headed hoes.
I'm going to take that now. Man, that's some... Ooh. And the girls from Tennessee, they all look cute, you know.
Does this guy think about anything but race and sex? Remind me again why this guy is a millionaire. I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own trumpet, but I could go on the air in New York tomorrow and do that. You know, our job here at the Horn is to try to sound remotely intelligent and engaging, and to engage you in conversation. Now, I'm not a New Yorker. Maybe a New Yorker can call and straighten me out. But what I'm trying to figure out here is, what is it about Imus, or for that matter, what is it about New York that approves of that garbage? And the Tennessee girls, they were all cute. What in the...
Also, like, kind of like a, I don't know.
Spike Lee thing.
Yeah.
The Jingaboos versus the Wannabes, movie that he had.
Yeah, it was a tough...
Jiminy Christmas. Why, I ask you, why is this man on the air? Because, see, this isn't all there is to it. Oh, no. This was just Thursday evening. Oh, well, you know, Bob, it was an isolated incident. He just screwed up. You know, he sits there and he has to talk to about things and he has to try to make it interesting. And, well, I mean, you know, so he said, you know, it just came out of his mouth and he said, you know, nappy-headed hoes. No, see, Sunshine, it doesn't work that way because after this freak said this stuff, in the newspaper there in the Big Apple, city that never sleeps, he said the following. He declared to the newspaper, the New York Times, he said people should relax and not worry about, quote, some idiot comment meant to be amusing. This is the 21st century. Nappy-headed hoes is not funny. Or at least anybody to whom nappy-headed hoes is funny has got to be an extremely narrow, low-IQ'd minority. And I don't mean by minority, I mean... I don't mean skin color. I mean, there can't be that many people in America who think referring to a women's basketball team as nappy-headed hoes and jigaboos. You know, this is one of those southern moments for me. This is one of those moments where, you know, growing up in the South and dealing with the inherent racism that's down there, and yet... Can you imagine, for a moment, just one moment, what would happen to a talker on the radio in, say, Birmingham, Memphis, Nashville, Atlanta, who referred to a women's basketball team as nappy-headed hoes? And yet... This guy's still got a job. Oh, that's the I-Man. The I-Man's a funny dude. Ha ha! Disgusting. But, you know, what I hope partially you tune into this program for is the fact that we can tie things together. And we can. And there's a couple of folks on hold. I hope you will stay there for a minute because I've got to finish this. Because what I want to prove to you is this is not an accident. This is these remarks by Don Imus are not in a vacuum. They weren't, as he described it, some idiot comment meant to be amusing. This is part of what you might call a pattern and practice. Let me take you back exactly, I think, almost exactly, a month. Do you remember when Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton went to Selma last month? And they both delivered speeches, one at one church, the other at the other church. Well, come Monday on the Imus show, never mind what else was going on in the world, come Monday on the Imus show, they had to talk about Hillary. And this is what they said.
I know trolling for votes are on the bridge in Selma.
Yeah,
but this... But her affecting the southern accent, how does no one find that just...
It was
repulsive.
But it was bizarre.
She's really trying to sound black.
Pardon me?
She's trying to sound black.
I mean, it's just...
The bitch is going to be wearing cornrows before the...
I mean, you can't just can't make it up, can you?
No.
She's trying...
Hang on. Let's just back that up a little bit. What did he say about Hillary Clinton?
She's really trying to sound black.
Pardon me?
She's trying to sound black.
I mean, it's just...
The bitch is going to be wearing cornrows before the...
I mean, you can't just...
Bitch is going to be wearing cornrows before long. These people are millionaires. Do you have any idea how much it costs to run a 60-second spot on the IMUS program in the New York City market? Any idea? What do they sell? What are the ads that run on IMUS? Come on, somebody in the New York market help me with this, okay? Soap? Gasoline? Automobiles? What do they advertise on IMUS? It can't all be... This is over the air in New York morning drive. It's not like Flush Flemball where it's all Swedish mattresses and patent erection medicines. And every time you go and buy one of whatever it is they're advertising on IMUS's program, you, I know you hate this part, you are responsible for things like...
I mean, it's just...
The bitch is going to be wearing cornrows before the...
I mean, you can't make it up, can you?
No.
You're paying for that. Can somebody get a list of who advertises on the IMUS program? I don't have any advertisers, so I really don't have to worry. I'm broke, and I know it, and we get along as best we can. Bitch is going to be wearing cornrows? Holy crap! But that's not all there is to it.
You're trying to sound black in front of a black audience? As opposed to sounding southern? She was pandering.
You think?
She'll have cornrows and gold teeth before this fight with Obama's over.
Now we're up to gold teeth. She'll have cornrows and gold teeth before this fight with Obama is over. This fight, mind you. These freaks can't do anything without thinking about bloodshed or violence. Oh, laugh, I-Man, laugh! Oh, what a laugh that was, too. Nothing wrong with what your freaks are saying, is there, Imus?
Oh, my God, I mean,
You know, I don't feel so bad about the pauses I take anymore.
I mean, Crip signs. She'll be giving Crip signs during speeches.
She'll be giving Crip signs during speeches. And people are just upset about the Rutgers women's basketball team being called nappy-headed hoes. I got a news flash for you. When the mic ain't on, Imus doesn't say nappy-headed. He says another word. Okay.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
What do you have? Let me hear what you have.
I think it's the beginning of the first thing they have, but I can play it again.
Okay, now this guy is Bernie McGurk, the producer.
No ways tied.
He's doing a so-called black voice, but it's okay. Meanwhile, if Hillary Clinton even vaguely harkens back to her years upon years upon years upon years in Arkansas, and a little bit of beans and cornbread slips into her voice, she's pandering and trying to sound black.
Well, it sounded like she was...
That's the role from Good Times.
Well, who's that woman who used to do the poet?
Maya Angelou.
Yeah. We used to get in all the trouble for the time you do her.
That's right.
Poor Mustang.
Whitey plucked you from the jungle for too many years. Took away your pride, your dignity, and your spears.
I went to the spear chucker line. Huh? Boy, they sure are original there at the IMUS program, ain't they?
Well, I don't need any more Collins. Come on. But, I mean, that's...
With freedom came new woes. Into Whitey's world, you was rudely cast. So wake up now and go to work. You could kiss my big black ass.
Oh, you know, they're on MSNBC. I bet they could probably work in blackface. Do you see how pervasive this garbage is? This filth, this racist, disgusting... What was it, last week we were talking about MC... No, maybe it was early this week. It all runs together for me. We were talking about MC Rove and how they were hooting and hollering on stage and making fun of, a black African-American musical style. You know, I'm old enough that I do remember, this is before my time, but I do remember that the late, great Sam Phillips made his career recording what was called the race music and teaching little white boys like Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis to sound a little less white than they might otherwise sound. And that terrified the mamas and the daddies. They're going to get our daughters. Is this 2007 or is this 1947? I don't know. Let's go to the phones. Who have I got?
Gonzo, greetings there, Mr. Kincaid. How are you?
Well, Spike, Gonzo, greetings to you. How are you?
Exhausted and still got a ways to go yet.
And miles to go before I sleep, like Robert Frost said.
Yeah. Hey, I love that you played all this, all this armor stuff, because, you know, for years upon years, I've been a listener of the Stern Show, and Stern at one time did a show with him. And for about 20 years now, Stern has talked about, behind the scenes, he calls every black person the N-word. He used to refer to Stern as the K-word for Jews.
The one that rhymes with bike?
Yeah, and he would call Stern into his face at times, you know, because at the time, Howard Stern wasn't quite Howard Stern, so Imus was the big man on the show. And kind of funny, now everyone around the world knows who Stern is, and then they suburban idiots who, on their morning drive...
Well, who in God's name... I mean, you're a little closer to New York City than I am, Spike.
I get that radio station. That's WFAN. They do sports all day except for that show.
Who in God's name finds that funny?
You know, when I used to work at Tiffany's, they'd be these white-collar guys, and, like, if they'd be setting up in a conference room before a meeting, a lot they'd put on MSNBC to watch it. This is a lot of your cubicle idiots in suburban New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island. I mean, granted, he's bigger now ratings-wise in because in reality, there's no Stern to compete with in the ratings race because he's on satellite. So Imus's numbers now, it sounds like he's a bigger hit than ever. In reality, it's just that the big dog left the neighborhood, so, you know, all the little ones are suddenly pumped up.
And yapping louder.
And keep in mind, MSNBC, this is also the network that gave a Mr. Michael Weiner a TV show at one time.
Well, you are correct.
And best of all, Weiner was just as egregious. But he got a little more attention than what he, because I guess it was directed at a caller instead of hypothetically. And let me tell you something. That producer for Imus is a real, you know what?
McGurk, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you ever see him, you'd think you'd seen a near death experience, these two. I mean,
no, he's a skinhead, isn't he?
The producer looks like a really bad Jerry Stiller character, and Imus, I mean, he just looks like a prune with a cowboy hat. You know,
I know. He's sitting there with this $3,000 cowboy hat on, and his collar pulled up like he's the Fonz.
And keep in mind, people always carry on about the Imus Ranch, and Stern always would carry on about how the Imus Ranch is a sham, and basically more or less called it out as he's having sick kids work on his vacation home. That's the Imus Ranch. it's kind of almost like a Holocaust enslavement. You know, so that's the Don Imus for you. And God only knows, I don't.
But he is getting the ratings.
Well, like I said, he's going to be higher up on the charts because, like I said, the biggest show ever in New York Morning Drive is gone.
Don't people in that market understand that by him having those kind of numbers that he is a reflection of them, Spike?
Oh yeah, well, New York is a highly racist area. Heck,
I mean, honest to God, do you think that some up and comer in a little market like Mobile, Alabama, could get away with calling the Rutgers women's basketball team nappy headed hoes?
Oh no, of course, because then people would say, well, you know, those Southerners are racist. When meanwhile, New Yorkers and people in Philly and you know, and the Northeast is highly racist. You kidding me? I mean, it's much more latent maybe up here, and that's what makes it even more dangerous. But yeah, well, you know, that's Imus in the morning. And like I said, the rest of the day, it's all sports on that channel, on that WFAN. That's what I really don't get is why they even have him. I mean, it would make more sense for WABC or one of those.
Oh, God, if you're a sports channel, you know, I guess it's a different operation. But, you know, Mike and Mike in the morning, whatever.
Yeah, well, this station has Mike and the Mad Dog later in the day, which is it's on the Yankees network. And that show is nothing like the Imus show. It's a sports show. They don't make that. That isn't their kind of shtick, you know. But for some reason, in the morning, I guess all the racists get up early in the morning in the New York market.
Got to get up early in the morning to beat the racist market. Oh my God!
You know, like I said, the rest of the day. I mean, if any of the other shows that the rest of the day they'd be in trouble. Imus gets a free pass because he's Don Imus, and it does mystify me. I mean, I don't understand why he's so big because he's not even in. He's not even funny.
Well, see, he got around it. Now, I mean, I've got you sitting here, and I'm not gonna. You know, you got all the time to talk in the world. You know that. So I do want you. I want you to hear this. You know, he got. Maybe you've already heard it, but he got around to apologizing, and this is what passes for an apology with Don Imus.
I want to take a moment to apologize for an insensitive and ill-conceived remark we made the other morning, referring to the Rutgers women's basketball team. It was completely inappropriate, and we can understand why people were offended. Our characterization was thoughtless and stupid, so, and we're sorry.
Spike, let's be honest, buddy. That so-called apology does not get made unless somebody typed it up, walked it in, handed it to him, and said, if you don't read it, you're living on your damn ranch.
Yeah, well, I was just about to say that definitely came from the PR department and not the heart of Don Imus, because it would.
We can understand why you were offended.
Yeah, well,
yeah. How condescending can you get?
Too bad there wasn't a note. You know, he might say, "Oh, we apologize. Turn page." That's just me being a humorous Imus. That wasn't really on purpose.
We'll try to offend another ethnic group next time.
Clearly,
I misunderestimated the sensitivity of the black community.
Hey, I do a pretty good Imus, don't I?
Yeah, all you have to do is mumble. That's all he does. He mumbles. But it was another mystery how he's so big in radio. He mumbles. He doesn't talk clearly. Jeez. Yeah. I know enough about New York radio to know how just... In reality, he is irrelevant. I mean... He's still not number one in New York either. Those two idiots who do a radio show, you know, because I don't.
Linus and Charlie or whatever, or yeah.
Opie and Anthony.
Yeah, Opie and Anthony, Linus and Charlie. You know,
a career based on an imitation of the Stern Show, even better. You know.
Yeah. Well.
imitation is
the most well paying form of flattery.
Yeah. But I gotta laugh because you know. What Imus does isn't as shocking as, like, you know, sexual innuendo or anything. You know,
Well, yeah, that's true, because if he had said caca on the air, maybe he would, you know, and we're talking about the real word, maybe he would have been fired.
Yeah.
Because, see, that could cause them. Thanks to, again, let's remember, Spike, thanks to the sanctimonious, holier-than-thou, morally bankrupt, ethically dead, Republican Congress that is gone, dead and buried now, thank God, if the I-Man had only said that word, or maybe the coitus word that begins with F, we might not have to put up with Imus anymore.
Maybe we can find out he's doing steroids on his show, and they'll go after him as well.
But, you know, if you're just having some good, innocent fun at the expense of people who were not responsible for the skin color they were born with, oh, what the hell? Just pass down a little apology from the PR department and everything's hunky-dory.
Well, that's AM radio for you. I mean, it's also the home of Michael Savage, I apologize, Michael Weiner. Can't believe I asked
the Savage Wiener. I mean, that's what.
Well, he's a whiner too. He whines all the time. So it could go either way. He's a wiener. He's a whiner. He's a you know what bag is what he really is. I can't believe stations still carry that show. I don't even. I think people listening to see what crazy thing he says next and even followers.
Spike, that's the thing that makes my head just spin around like I'm auditioning for The Exorcist. It's not like these guys are getting 30 grand a year, okay? I mean, you know, 30 grand, 40 grand, 50 grand, I can understand paying for this, because 50 grand in New York City means you're probably living in a crack house. but we're talking about millionaires here.
And multimillionaires.
And again, these guys don't happen in a vacuum. There are PR people, there are marketing people who are out there beating down the doors and talking to some. I mean, who advertises there? I mean, you get the station. Who advertises on it?
You know, I don't even tune in the morning to find out who advertises. I suspect it's actually a lot of the same people who advertise the rest of the day on FAN. So it's.
I mean, so what is that? Local car dealerships and.
Yeah, local car dealerships. You know, sports related stuff. You know, it's probably a real meat and potatoes, you know, jock kind of market and going on there. Maybe a little more white collar for him in the morning, though. But I mean, still overall, it's WFAN. It's you know, this stuff basically they have the rest. I don't think he has any Swiss gold or. I do love what you said, Rush Limbaugh's advertisement.
Swedish mattresses and patent erection medications.
All he needs is that you may be the masseuse for the happy endings in his advertising block there, but that's a whole nother can of worms.
You know they monitor this program. You've just given them an idea, and you're not even going to get to bill them for it.
Well, that's okay. Who knows? Maybe she'll scratch him or something. But, you know, best of all, actually, all this Iron Man talk, and... I'd actually called to talk a little bit about unions in this country.
Oh, well, you're welcome to do that, too.
And it seems like there's a little more interest, probably because of just how ridiculously bad the job market's becoming.
The Bush administration has driven working people into the arms of the unions, and for good reason.
Yeah, and many unions need to... opportunize on it, and also,
did you hear that story in the top of the hour news? Maybe it was the first hour. The steel workers are contemplating a merger with a union in Britain that would make them the largest in the I think in the world.
You know, I haven't even heard too much about that. I'm only picking up on that just tonight a little bit. I know my main employer recently got in a little bit of trouble over organized labor issues.
How so?
Well, it would be the Starbucks company who's been kind of trying to fight the IWW from organizing their shops. And
industrial workers of the world.
Yeah, the IWW, a union that was at one time considered irrelevant and gone, actually just won a court case against Starbucks. Basically, they proved that there were over 30 counts of union busting. And... you know, it's kind of interesting in a way after working for this company now. You know, it's more of a marketing tool about how progressive it really is.
Sure.
And in reality, once you work for them, you realize...
So are you a barista?
Yeah, I am.
Or a baristo?
A barista, yeah. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love coffee. I have an espresso maker at home, I mean...
Oh, God, I don't want to see you at the end of the day. Hey, everybody, I'm home from work!
You know what I usually...
Time for coffee!
I usually load up early in the day, and it carries me through the whole day. When I went to New York last week, I got a big thing of coffee and drank like 10 cups that were about 8 ounces, so about 80 ounces of coffee, and then went off to an arena football game.
Gonzo Spike.
And
man of the tortured kidneys.
Until about midnight.
Oh, I can't. Arena football on a really ugly caffeine buzz? I don't want to think about it.
I was in the second row. I even got, best of all, I got a touchdown football. The player for my team, I made a sign up the night before. I wasn't feeling good. So when we stayed at the motel room, I spent most of the night in the motel room. So I made up a sign for this guy. He's leading the AFL in interceptions. I held the sign before the game. He looked at it, and I kept telling him in the warm-up since I was in the second round of the field. He could hear me. You know, catch me a ball today. Get us the ball today. He caught it in the other end zone, robbed him of a touchdown, ran it back for a touchdown on my end, came over and handed me the football.
Oh, too cool.
Yeah, so I have a touchdown, a 50-yard, which in the real league it's a 50-yard field, a 50-yard interception touchdown football that my guy did on the road, best of all. And they ended up winning the game by 5 points. So.
Is that the Philly team?
Yeah, the Philadelphia Soul, the team owned by a certain rock star, and the president is Mr. Ron Jaworski, who was at the game.
Let's see, the certain rock star, would that be a certain John Bon Jovi?
Yeah, a certain John Bon Jovi. I like his football.
Throw that rock star tag around kind of loose, don't you there, Spike?
Well, I think everyone at this... it's become the most famous franchise in the league just because of his ownership. I mean, I gotta give him that. These teams have been in the league much longer that aren't as famous. But
yeah, it's some fun football, too.
Yeah, arena football, it's never over till it's over. I'll tell you what, sitting in the second row, there was a couple...
Well, you know, any game where you got to kick a field goal through a set of paper clips.
Yeah, and they miss a lot. But the best part of all is, I mean, being in that second row.
I mean, the goalposts were wider in the paper football that we used to play in sixth grade.
Yeah, it's the most narrow field goals you could find. It's half the width of the NFL and several feet...
Yeah, oh, AFL kicker makes 3 field goals in a season. He's good to go in the NFL.
Well, the funny thing is our guy can usually nail it from the other end zone, but up close a lot, his accuracy is not as good. It's a game that depends heavily on the touchdown. And like I said, sitting up close, not like a collision or a tackle right in front of you, the pads there. I mean, hockey has the glass there. We don't even have that in AFL games. I mean, you're right there. Sometimes if you're not looking...
To take one in sometime. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, you know, the AF2, their minor leagues everywhere. I think they do have a West Virginia team somewhere. For some reason, I'm thinking Wheeling, but I...
Yeah, that would make sense.
And let me tell you, just 2 linemen colliding into the boards in front of you, if you're not looking...
They'll spill your beer.
Yeah, you might spill more than your beer, but that's some good football. I love football, so, I mean, you can't afford an NFL.
Hey, you're watching football in April.
I watch football year-round.
You got to get the fix.
Yeah, well, there's just not enough days in the year for me between everything I'm into. But
you're a busy man, Spike.
Very busy, very busy, and, we'll see what the world of labor has to bring.
So have you joined up?
I'm thinking about...
Last I checked, the IWW dues were pretty cheap.
Yeah, dues are pretty cheap. So it's not an expensive union to join. It certainly would give us a much louder voice because here minimum wage is going to be going up pretty good soon enough. I mean, not as far as it should.
So, are you working the Starbucks? I mean, I don't mean to get too personal. Are you working the Starbucks right there in Easton?
I'm in the area.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, right now we make $7.25 an hour. I think I'm getting like a dime raise soon.
How are the tippers?
At our shop, tips aren't too bad. They're pretty generous at our shop. I worked at a mall shop, and it was a high end mall. You know, we had Brooks Brothers.
Oh, there. The really filthy rich people that.
Yeah, and they tip like... I just as well spit into the thing, we'd have more in depth.
Yeah, right, you know, the Judge Schmales types, you know, well, the world needs ditch diggers too.
Yeah, yeah, essentially, a lot of people who look down on us were very rude, very impatient. At least where I am now, we get a decent amount of blue-collar people and the such who understand we kind of depend on tips, and they're pretty generous for the most part. There's one guy, he's a white-collar guy, he comes in every morning, he usually at some point in the week will just drop a $10 bill in.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's not too bad. Some weeks I really kill on tips. And yeah, I guess it depends too on how much business, of course, we do. But I mean,
if you sold liquor, you'd do better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because drunk people forget how much money they're leaving. That's the trick there. Yeah. Unfortunately, people who have a lot of caffeine can keep count. You know, so it's a little tougher. But
yeah, I'm down a penny.
Yeah.
Give me another double shot.
You know, I really do like coffee. I just wish that I could make a better living being in the world of coffee. You know, it is a narcotic. I guess essentially I'm like some junkie who starts selling to, you know.
To support his habits.
Yeah, that's essentially what a lot of people who work for coffee places are. You know, it's just a way so they can get a cheaper fix on their caffeine. But
I'd be terrible there because I can't do caffeine anymore, and I'd be like the laid back barista, and it's like.
You know what's really interesting is some of the most agitated people we get are people who drink decaf.
Well, we're frustrated.
Some of the people in the world. There's one guy who's super nice. When I see him coming, I always have his ready for him. But there's so many of them. They're just so nasty. It's like, you know what? Drink some caffeine, man. This decaf.
Well, see, I gave up caffeine because it wrecks me, dude. I mean, you know, I get a thimble full of real coffee, and I feel like my heart's going to run out of my throat.
I feel like that when I don't have coffee in me.
But it's the people who have quit and didn't want to. Those are your cranky. Those are your cranky caffeine drinkers.
Yeah. And also, a lot of people with soy. That's another group. The soy milk group or another group that are kind of militant. And I mean, Louis Black, anyone ever heard him? He does a whole thing about soy milk, and it's true. It's not milk, it's bean juice.
Yes, it is. It's bean juice.
The bean juice crowd, man.
See, I don't do bean juice without cornbread. And some ham hock to flavor it.
Yeah, brown sugar, molasses, maybe some hot pepper.
Hey, Spike, I got to roll on, but man, good luck. I hope you join up. I hope you organize where you're working.
Yeah, well, I hope more people out there look into that and that union. Hopefully, there's a few more people listening out there.
All right, thanks a lot, Spike. Take care.
You too.
Great conversation. Bye now. Pal Spike in Easton, PA, and rolling on we go. Hey, who've I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan, how are you?
Hanging in there.
Atta girl.
It's a nice 80 degrees here.
Oh, don't taunt me.
I noticed that dear Imus didn't bother to apologize to Hillary.
Well, no, he wasn't called on to. That's okay. Sliming Hillary is, it's not only okay, it's expected.
Oh, yeah. Little point to ponder.
Okay.
Women's basketball team reaches the pinnacle that they can get.
Yeah.
They are feeling really, really good. And then they hear about being called a nappy-headed
ho, and a jigaboo.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, don't forget jigaboo.
I can't even begin to. I can't even force myself to say that.
Believe me, I'm not saying it for shock value. I feel like I'm in a time machine when I listen to this garbage, Susan.
I'm the classic West Coast suburban wasp. That's the way I grew up.
And there are words we don't say. Some of us don't even think them.
Yeah, but even where I grew up, there were things I knew that if I committed them, I would get my clock cleaned.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's easy to sit there in that uber secure broadcast booth of his and call these women, you know, again, women, these horrific names, and know that he's never going to be held to account for it. Because at the end, remember, when his shift is over, he walks down the hall, he gets in the private elevator, he goes to the bottom, to the private entrance, goes from the private exit of the building into his limousine.
Uh-huh. To his gated community.
To his gated or whatever, apartment there in somewhere, you know, probably a nice address in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. With his security guard.
And never has to deal with anybody. And, you know, if he goes out, well, you know, he'll go to some Tony store where he won't have to worry about running into, God knows, a member of the Rutgers women's basketball team.
I sincerely hope one day he commits a felony and ends up in jail. I really do.
Oh, come on, Susan. I mean, I'm not being mean, but, you know, keep it real, would you?
Hey,
he
back is a bitch.
He and Flush Flimball, they're not going to go to any prisons.
No, but...
I mean, they wouldn't even go to, like, Club Fed.
I realize it's unrealistic, but...
But one may hope, sure.
I consulted with the Google.
Yeah, oh, the Google, yes.
Yes. I came up with, just on a couple of minutes looking, the National Restaurant Association either has advertised on his show or is still doing so. Same with the New Hampshire International Speedway. And Aflac, of all things, supports his ranch.
Aflac.
Mm-hmm. You know, with the duck.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God the Geico caveman, or is it Progressive or Geico? Geico. It's the Geico caveman. Thank God they're not advertising with him. We'll probably find out that they are. But, you know,
You want to write a letter, people want to write a nice, polite letter to these organizations and say, this is really not conduct.
Yeah, but see, then the company says, well, didn't you hear his apology? He apologized. He said it was a stupid remark.
And that apology is not worth the paper it's written on, and everybody knows it. If they don't know it, they're brain dead.
True enough. But this is the state of media. I happened to be producing Dr. Bill a couple of hours ago, and you know, lo and behold, Dr. Bill O'Brien is the last guy in the world I ever expected to hear do radio about American Idol.
Yeah, wasn't that just a?
No, I was sitting here with, you know, cranking my little jaw up off the keyboard. But you know, he made some very profound points about it. You know, the fact that the business with Sanjaya or whomever brings to light the malleability of our electoral system.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But more than that, you know, this is our culture, Susan. You know, this is, and so, you know, somewhere I've got that soundbite of Tony, gutless Tony Snow, and I mean that literally. Gutless Tony Snow saying racism is only a memory.
Yeah, right. Have you seen that article about, I think it was Maryland, and the governor of Maryland is ready to sign the bill. They've passed a law that, assuming all 50 states pass their own laws, we have just circumvented the Electoral College.
Now, bear in mind, California tried to do that, too. Didn't fly. But, yeah, it's the beginning of an attempt to, for folks who aren't familiar, it says that the electors of a given state will be bound by the popular vote of that state.
If all 50 states follow suit.
Right. So what they're trying to do there is build the beginnings of what is referred to in most circles as an interstate compact.
Oh, and a little piece of news. I don't know whether or not you picked it up. You probably have, but for the people who haven't, Monica Goodling has resigned.
Yes, she has. I've got that sitting here. Hadn't gotten to it yet. Very good.
I don't know whether or not she thinks that this...
Her resignation, Susan, was, it's being reported, 3 sentences long.
Hmm?
Yeah, her resignation was 3 sentences long.
Oh, yeah?
One sentence was, I am hereby submitting my resignation to the Office of Attorney General. One of the other sentences was, may God bless you richly as you continue your service to America. I can only guess at what sentence number 2 was. How about, I am hereby submitting my resignation to the Office of Attorney General. Period. I am not going to go to prison for you, Mr. Gonzalez.
Possibly.
may God bless you richly as you continue your service to America.
That would be nice, yes. I sincerely hope she's not silly enough to think that resigning gets her out of testifying, because it certainly doesn't.
No. In fact, it makes it more likely that she could be compelled to testify.
Yeah.
Because she no longer enjoys a privileged or confidential relationship with the administration.
At the very least, she's going to have to show up and say, sir, I have to assert my Fifth Amendment protection on every question.
Yep. And let them sit there and ask her 1,000 of them.
And just...
But all of this presupposes something, Susan, and that is that the American people are paying attention, and I don't know if they are. Because a lot of them are very busy wondering whether or not American Idol is being subverted by the people who are deliberately voting for Sanjaya.
I'm certainly not. Did you catch that on Oberman last night?
No, I didn't.
That thing that he slipped in there about his producer making him do the story on American Idol.
Oh, he does that from time to time. He reminds people that he does not like doing the celebrity garbage.
I thought it was...
But that's the Murrow's bargain that he's made. As long, you know, he gets to do the occasional skin-blistering anti-Bush administration comment as long as he continues to periodically talk about Paris Hilton.
Uh-huh.
It's a deal with the devil.
Someone has spoken up against... Donahue.
Oh, what, a priest from Kentucky, wasn't it?
Catholic priest, yeah. Which you have to admit took nerve.
Well, yeah, because Donahue will call his Opus Dei buddies down, and the priest in Kentucky will get strangled with some barbed wire.
Yeah. But we are getting up to the top of the hour, so I will let you go on to the news.
All right. Well, thank you very kindly, Susan. You have yourself a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You too, and give Agnes my best.
I sure will. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whoever I just hung up on, I apologize. Please call back. I pushed the wrong button. I'm not competent to do this. Good Talk Radio is not self-produced radio. So if you were, whoever you were on hold, I'm sorry. That was not deliberate rudeness on my part. Do please feel free to call back. I hate it when I do that kind of stuff. But yeah, Monica Goodling is gone. Okay, you called back. Thank you very kindly. We'll find out who you are. Hey, welcome to the program.
Gee, Bob, did I do something wrong? I got hit. Did somebody hit the ejector seat?
Shot you right through the roof, Mr. Bodine.
Luckily, I was wearing my steel hat.
Yeah. Look here, Uncle Jed. Oh, I got to take the bullet. Got to take the bulletproof canopy off first.
Well, let's see. The one I loved last night was, I sent you the thing, about the thing in Alabama.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, can I go down and teach it when we get to cover Nathaniel Bedford Forrest? Please?
Pretty please, yeah. No,
I'll do the Crusades. Oh, much better.
Hey, I want to do Helen Keller.
Oh.
Boy, that just sounded wrong, didn't it? No, I want to cover the Helen Keller segment so that I can explain it, because especially growing up where I grew up, she had scarlet fever, and the next thing you know, she couldn't see and she couldn't hear and she couldn't talk, and she lived in a world of darkness, and it was the miracle at the pump, and it's the miracle worker, and Annie Sullivan, and the work that was done was just amazing. But that you never get past that. It's the end of the miracle worker. She's standing at the pump and she says, "Wah," and that's the end of the play. And you don't find out that Helen Keller went on to become one of the most, no pun intended, vociferous advocates for workers' rights and a profound opponent of war.
Well, it's like this thing I saw, the story the other day, where they were talking about, and I know there's a couple of things I think coming out on PBS talking about Martin Luther King. Talking about after he had the I Have a Dream speech and all that, how in the last couple of years of his life, he got into a whole bunch of workers' rights. And amazingly enough, he didn't appear a whole lot on any TV for a while.
Well, and you certainly don't, and I think I saw the same article, Luke, you don't hear about that version of Martin Luther King. It's sort of the same way that the right-wingers treat Yeshua.
Yeah.
You hear the render unto Caesar and Peter unto sword business and all of that. Lo, I'm going to come back and yada yada yada, and I'm going to ride my Harley Davidson down out of the clouds. But you never hear any of the stuff that goes against the grain of everything that those freaks believe in. You never hear the story about him saying, or if you do hear the story about how he says that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's allegorical. Everything else is the literal God's truth, but that part's allegorical. Give me more money.
It's like, no, money changers? No, no, no. That isn't what we call bankers nowadays. No, 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 no. You know, it's just amazing on some of this stuff. Oh, let's see, what was the one? You were talking last night about Cheney. I'm just waiting until Cheney starts talking backwards like in a David Lynch movie.
God, that's just sick.
I know it is, but I enjoy it. But, you know, I say that piece of tape is just hilarious to watch, the one with him standing over in the bushes. It's like, say, I'm surprised he wasn't wearing a cloak like the Emperor in Star Wars.
See, I immediately went to the Sith analogy when I saw that too. It looks like he's watching young Darth Maul work his magic or something. Yeah,
I'm just surprised, like say, that he wasn't sitting there talking into his boutonniere.
Yeah, or his shoe.
What I want you to say now.
Well, this is, after all, this is the Bush administration. Competent, they're not so.
But it's like, say, you're just sitting there going, just hold up a stick, please. I want the lightning to strike now. Please, just be done with it. Tonight, Mr. Matthews had on Robert Baer, who, is one of the ex-CIA people who make a whole lot of sense, and was asking him who was responsible for us getting into Iraq. And I think Baer had to told him like three different times, the administration, the administration.
No, I know you, it wasn't the administration, So you're saying it wasn't the administration. Who was it then?
Who made it possible? And you just wanted Baer to look at him and go, you did, Chris. You were the one with the pom-poms going, yay, go team. You know, it's like Matthews is one of these people who's now Tweety Bird. Excuse me, I should say. He's now into this revisionist history. Have you noticed now? Oh, I was totally against this war from the beginning. And it's like, who? Who are you, sir? I'm sorry. I thought I knew who you were. Can you please come here and eat? Because I'm a sad. I know I've been looking at the wrong. They've been running the wrong names under your picture when they show you. It's like, because the fellow I knew whose name was Chris Matthews is the one fellow who said, today we are all neocons. You know, and it's like, God. So, I mean, just some of this stuff. Oh, last night, when I came out of my office, it was late. So I was listening on the radio on the way home to the ABC News. They simulcast it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so it's hit 6:30 here locally. That's when it hit. So I turn it on. I want to hear about the Iranians, the Iranians letting go of the sailors. Fourth story.
Behind
the stabilization controls being put into cars, the order, that's going out on it.
Right.
The story about the head of Ford getting his bonus while they lost their shirts.
Pretty offensive.
Yeah, and then the story about the University of Southern California, Texas, and like Harvard, in some scandal about where the people doing their student loans had been giving them kickbacks. And that was the fourth story, and the fourth story was the Iranians letting go of the sailors.
It's in realms like that, Luke, that I wish we really did have a free market, because network news as we know it would cease to exist.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like you were talking just a second ago. It's like this thing with Oberman. Oberman has to make his deal with the devil to get on. And the thing of it is, you're sitting there going, okay, Oberman's the hottest thing MSNBC's got on. Where are the duplicates? I mean, why MSNBC got two, at least one other Oberman? Or at least, an Oberman on the way, you know what I mean? But, of course, we get Scarborough, we get Tucker, we get...
Glenn Beck.
Oh, I don't even want to go about him. God. Someone whose haircut apparently passed away. we all say Hannity's the life support system.
Bill Bennett. Don't forget Bill Bennett.
Please now, the
I know.
The gambler of virtues?
Yes. The virtuous gambler.
Oh. It's like, say, every time he appears, he should be wearing that little croupier's hat,
and the little garters on the sleeves, and yeah.
They ought to make him do it. It's like, God. The one I liked is now, well, we're going to come out, the British are going to come out and show that they were on the right side. And I'm sitting there going, look, if you all have the satellites and you have, like, the boat GPS from the boat they boarded, why hadn't that stuff been out for the last week? I'm sitting there, this is going to be like Kuwaiti. Oh, yeah, all these troops are massing on the border. Don't touch the ink. It's still kind of wet.
There's no end to the con jobs.
It's just, like I say, it's just amazing on this stuff. Well, I tell you what, let's see if we can actually get you doing something normal. It's top of the hour. Let me let you
go.
Yeah,
you're going to make me hit a break, aren't you?
I know, just for the fun of it. Just be different.
All right.
One quick thing.
Yeah.
Do you think tonight we'll get to see even a more fun burnout by Billo? That was just so much fun. It was awesome.
Doing it to Geraldo Rivera. Flipping out on him. They're desperate for ratings over there.
Like I said, the Thorazine Express is leaving the station.
Well, I was listening to Joe Vecchio's show this morning. He was talking with his good friend Carolyn Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com, and she said, you know, they've proven that anger is, you know, blowing your stack like that's really, really bad for the heart. Bill O'Reilly's out there just, you know, all his audience is angry old white dudes, and he's killing his own geriatric audience.
Well, the thing of it is now, he's at the point now, like I say, he's had this. The other night he had to cut the lady off, the one he had on the thing on his radio show where he cut off his co-host.
Right.
It's like, Bill, you're not even attacking the people out in the field anymore. You're attacking the people standing beside you. And
it's a mark of sublime desperation. Luke, have a great weekend.
Right. You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right, we'll be back after the news. A little something special for you from a guy who's going to be on the show pretty soon, a gentleman by the name of John Koontz. Since we were talking about Imus and his ugly racism, what a magnificent tune this is. Name of the album coming out. It's in stores in Portland now. It can never happen here. Enjoy. This is Emmett Till.
Gather around me, people. A story I will tell about the murder of a child by the name of Emmett Till. A stain of blood remains on the soul of this nation as long as murderers walk free and the law is forsaken. All across this land is no justice still for the murder of the innocent child named Emmett Till. Down in Mississippi, where the magnolia smells sweet, still remains a stench of murder, injustice, and deceit. In the little town, news traveled fast, and when the two men heard, they decided to hunt down and kill the mockingbird. The women folk down there, they all know the facts. When the white men come to get you, you ain't never coming back. All across this land, there is no justice still for the murder child named Emmett Till.
Quality News Network. A top aide to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez handed in her resignation this afternoon. Monica Goodling, who was a senior counsel to Gonzalez, told Congress 2 weeks ago that she would not testify about the firings of 8 federal prosecutors. Instead, Goodling asserted her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. The U.S. administration has acknowledged today for the first time that climate change is a global challenge. A delegate to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change made that statement after the organization released its summary on global warming. Among its findings, 30% of Earth's species face extinction. That is, if temperatures rise more than 3.5 degrees above averages in the 1980s and 90s.
Now back on British soil, 15 sailors and Marines say they were in Iraqi waters when they were surrounded and seized by Iran 2 weeks ago. The statement contradicts their purported confessions shown on Iranian television during their captivity. The freed personnel say those confessions were coerced. Pentagon officials say more than 12,000 National Guard troops could be sent back to Iraq later this year. It'll be the first time full National Guard brigades are deployed in Iraq for a second term. And the death toll has risen to at least 35 in Ramadi, where a suicide truck bomber crashed into an Iraqi police checkpoint and released chlorine gas. Taliban fighters have seized local government offices in Afghanistan's southeastern region. The local police have backed down due to lack of ammunition. The Washington Post reports recently declassified Defense Department documents show Saddam Hussein did not have a relationship with Osama bin Laden or al-Qaeda. The documents contradict the Bush administration's continuing insistence that al-Qaeda was active within Iran, within Iraq, prior to the 2003 invasion. International aid groups say disease is increasing significantly within temporary encampments set up to help victims of the Solomon Island tsunami. Officials say fresh water, medicine, and improved sanitary facilities are needed to save lives. Federal security auditors report the IRS has lost nearly 500 laptop computers over the last 3 years. Many of those lost or stolen contain sensitive information about taxpayers. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
The list of pet foods being recalled due to contamination is growing. The massive recall now includes dog biscuits, puppy chews, and wet food sold earlier than originally reported. The full recall list is available on the web. And a newly released study indicates that children who eat a Mediterranean-style diet appear to have fewer problems with asthma and respiratory allergies. A space tourist is set to lift off tomorrow for a trek to the International Space Station. Charles Simonyi reportedly paid $25 million for a 13-day trip with the U.S.-Russian crew. Two cosmonauts are also making the journey, but they'll stay on board the ISS for 6 months. Greenpeace says Apple Computer has the worst environmental record of any important electronic manufacturing company in the U.S. Greenpeace was particularly critical of Apple's recycling and toxic substance programs. Internet phone carrier Vonage has been court-ordered not to sign up any new customers. A civil jury found the company guilty of patent infringement earlier this year. Vonage is appealing that judge's ruling. And in a report to securities regulators, Ford Motors revealed it gave out multimillion-dollar bonuses to its executives last year, even though the troubled company posted a record annual loss of $13 billion. Both Wall Street and the New York Mercantile Exchange are closed today. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay, how about a poll question just to get things started? What do you say? And, you know, we work by committee here. I don't just do things. What do you say we make a practice of giving Agnes every Friday night off? What do you think? Is that a, would that be a nice thing to do? I'm thinking about that. I'll let her know the results of the voting. You can send your vote in to bob@headonradio.com. Or you can vote in the chat room. I'm watching that, too. The question, what is a Mediterranean diet? Because it was in the news there. I've got my own take on that story. Children with who eat Mediterranean diets have less trouble with asthma, yada, 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 respiratory disorders. Down the road, they probably got less heart trouble, too. Mediterranean diet, good bit of fish, a lot of fruits, a lot of nuts. But more than anything else, a Mediterranean diet is primarily a fresh diet. And it's foods that have not been largely screwed with by the American agrochemical business poison conglomerate. But, you know, next thing you know, I'm going to be sounding like the George Norrie show, so we'll just stop right there. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Steady is on the road, and he's called in periodically. You know, he went to Mississippi to help with the recovery efforts there. Right now, our good friend Steady is holding in the lower Ninth Ward of New Orleans. Steady, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing okay, and a good Friday to everyone out there from New Orleans in the lower Ninth Ward. I'm at the Common Ground facility in their common area with computer terminals, and just had a dinner with shrimp and chili and spent the day at the city park doing a little bit of weeding, kind of a relaxed schedule, but I'm on schedule tomorrow to actually put the tools on and do some electrical work. I have to say that the difference between this area in New Orleans and Mississippi, the population density is much higher in New Orleans, and the devastation is a lot more, it's been hit a lot harder. There's a lot more people who've been hit. I think the number is 300,000 homes were lost in this area. And the work continues.
So what is the status as you observe it now?
Still a lot of boarded up homes. As I go down the streets throughout here, we got, you know, the paints as they search through the homes, you know, from the rescue crews on the buildings. Some of the dates are September 13th, 15th, 16th are the ones that I see. And oddly enough, the Common Ground facility at St. Mary's Church or St. Mary's of the Angels is on Congress Avenue. It's just kind of ironic to me to show up down here. There's all kinds of crews. The people are everything from, again, have left their homes, and the construction and the volunteer forces are like a number 300 here. So they've got an outstanding program, and I'd advise anyone to come to New Orleans to do their work rather than a Mississippi location. They're feeding people for free and housing them for free. They do expect you to do a collateral duty, whether it's a KP or security,
sure,
times a week, in addition to your 40 hours a week, which is kind of relaxed. They have a very liberal policy here regarding birthing. It's community showers, co-ed showers, co-ed birthing. So I had to sign a few waivers. One of the things is, you know, any type of contact and sexual contact or anything like that must be consensual on both parts, and silence is not consent.
You know, that just makes good sense to me. Steady, what is the attitude of the folks? I mean, first of all, how many folks, I don't mean specific numbers, of people who have, do you get a sense, boy, I'm trying to ask this question the right way, do you get a sense of the ability of people who were displaced to return to their homes in the lower Ninth Ward?
I do see a lot of people up and around the streets. The number of homes, you know, percentage-wise, in regards to those that look vacant as those that are actually occupied, I'd say it's 40, 60, 30, 70. I mean, as in the lower number being those that are occupied, the higher number being unoccupied. There are many of the homeowners that are in the facility here helping out as they're waiting for their FEMA money. I read some stuff regarding, oh my gosh, I should have had that in front of me, but they're holding a tribunal
you're trying to organize a tribunal for crimes against humanity, and Common Ground's involved with that, against the Bush administration, against the governor who gave shoot to kill orders during the immediate aftermath of the storm. And they are political. There's yellow signs out in front of the place with a 1-800 number to say, let's get real, let's stop the police harassment. And I think the word, I'm not sure what the word is, but they are extremely outspoken. And another thing that they gave me as I came in here is how to visit New Orleans without getting arrested. And apparently you can be arrested here for riding with one hand on your handlebars as you ride your bike. So they're looking to arrest people for numbers, and the first thing that they say on that flyer is if you're a person of color, you stand a much higher chance of being harassed and arrested. So please don't be angry. Keep a correct tone, and try not to get upset when the cops give you a hard time, because apparently their arrests are directly related to the funding that they receive.
So they're what, on a quota?
I would say so. I mean, the more arrests, the more money. And they said that gives you more of an opportunity to get lost in the system and never get to trial. They'll keep you as long as they can and never charge you, and they still get paid.
That's just twisted.
It's extremely twisted. And to be given that as my welcome package made it a tremendous impression upon me.
I should think that it would. Now, you're just there for a couple of days. What do you see in as far as the volunteer effort is concerned? How many folks are around you there?
From what I understand, they're housing 300 people in this building. It's a three-story building. There's about 10 to 15 people per room, and it's an old school building. It's a big school building. The chow hall, if you will, and kitchen is in what was a basketball gym. As you know, when I was in Pascagoula, we were sleeping in a basketball gym, but we were going about three blocks to a kitchen to eat. But this Common Ground is thorough. I mean, they have this welcome package. They're aware of the police element that doesn't want people to recover. They want to run people out of here. And like many towns in the United States are doing what they call redevelopment, which is really relocation of undesirables.
So have you been to see the levees?
I have not. I did drive over a lot of the bridges and got to look at some of the piers along the coastline. What I did see from the piers, the piers have not been replaced, have not been fixed. They're still thrashed, but I haven't seen the levees yet. I know that not all of them didn't break, but I definitely want to get out to Pontchartrain, which is not too far from here, and just take a look at it.
Well, the reason I asked you about people who had returned, or what you could gauge about people returning, expressly steady because of that fear, that idea that we're going to engage in redevelopment, because you're smack dab in the middle of where the Poe folks were.
Yep.
And I don't mean any disparagement by that, but those are the most vulnerable people. Those are people most likely to have, I mean, they've already lost all their possessions. They've lost everything but their lives, those who didn't lose their lives. And so it would seem that those are the most, those people are most easily further dispossessed. It sounds to me, from the way you're describing law enforcement and whatnot, that we're looking at a situation where looking out for those people who have been so horrendously wrecked in their lives and in their very existence, not a lot of people looking out for them, is there?
Not really, and it's certainly not law enforcement in this area. But I do see, on a positive note, many bumper stickers that say, New Orleans, proud to call it home. And the spirit is high amongst people in the area that are expecting their money or involved in the relief effort. Many people are holding on strongly, especially today, very vocal about their faith, saying that you got to trust in God, and if you trust in anything else, you're going to come up empty-handed. It's good and encouraging to hear that from people who have been so devastated, and I don't think it's founded optimism again. It's not faithless. People are holding on strong by their faith. They've lost everything, and they turn towards their faith. And what a weekend for me to actually show up down here and experience that. It's Good Friday, and I just, it's on Congress Avenue and Common Ground, the finding out all this stuff about the efforts in New Orleans. Having seen the difference between what's going on in Mississippi and here, the relief effort, as I said, Mississippi, is there's no end in sight, but here it's just, I mean, it's
some of that has to do with the military. It sounds to me, unless I'm just guessing wrong, it sounds to me like some of that has to do with the militancy of the people.
In their faith and adherence to that and just trust, I would say so. I think they're the spirit of the Mardi Gras and the music, as maybe John Fox mentioned this morning, has a lot to do with that. And just a bond. And in an organization like Common Ground, I haven't met any of the real staff members other than the volunteers who do the intake and coordinating, but I intend to. And it's just a very small part of what I'm of my being here involved in the effort. But I have to say, it's encouraging. I think more people in you, what you're doing, Bob, to let people like me just get on the radio and share some of this is going to bring people down to this region. And I would say, come to New Orleans. This is where the need
I wish I had a skill. I would love nothing better to be down to go down there and try to help out for a little while. But I got no trade. I got no skill. All I can do is sit here and yammer.
Well, I think the microphones you saw at this time and hammer and nails and certainly helping out with opening up the mic to me and anyone else who calls in. You know, shouts out to Sarge. I wouldn't even be down here if he hadn't taken his calls. And I'm sorry to hear of his situation. And we all know that keep your head high and chin up. And don't let the circumstances around us beat us down, and there'll be a better day.
Well, by all means, steady, and this is not shameless promotion of the network on my part, tell people that you run across that we're with them in spirit, that many of us wish we could be with them in the flesh, that we stand behind them, and that this forum is open to them, steady. If they, you know, they don't have to be listening. If they want to call and tell us about what's going on, tell us what the successes are, tell us what the failures are, give them the daggum phone number. Let them in on the shows. Let them know that America wants to hear from them. We haven't forgotten, steady.
I will do that, Bob. I was distributing flyers for the call we did on Monday night. I think that was last week.
Yeah.
At the time, it's like Tammy and Amy said, it seems like they've lived 10 years in a couple months. And I say in a month here, it seems like I've lived 10 months. I left Oregon on the 24th of February, and I think I got to Sarge's, I think, on the 15th or somewhere right around there. So I've actually only been involved with the relief effort now for 3 weeks, but it seemed like a very long time away from home, whereas the vacations always like fly by. This has not been a vacation.
No, and I know that you were very badly missed at home too, steady. And we're thinking about that as well.
Well, bless you and Agnes for keeping in touch and allowing me to keep in touch this way. Patty, if you're listening, I love you. And, you know, we'll be home after the California Democratic Convention, which is the 27th through 29th in San Diego.
All right. I don't know how to begin to describe how I feel about what you're doing. To just pull up stakes and go and go somewhere and try to help because you realize that people need it. And to do it, I mean, I know a little bit about the situation behind what you've been doing and everything, steady. To do it on nothing but the faith that others will buoy you up in times of need, and then to get where you're going and find and be able to help people and find yourself in a place where what you can offer is so profoundly needed. I have tremendous admiration for that, steady, and I just we think about you. We wish you well. We wish you to be safe. We want you to be okay. We want the people around you to be okay. We want them to recover. New Orleans is a place that it's not just a physical location. It's a place in the American mythos, and we need that place. We need the physical New Orleans, but we need the New Orleans that is in our heart, and it won't be right until the physical place is made right. Does that make any sense at all, steady?
Absolutely, and I thank you for the props in regards to my situation. I got Katrina'd in a very different way by, let's say, forces in our hire government hireling servants who wish to maintain their power, and that's not selfless promotion. That's a fact. And I thank you for providing the outlet to share that, Bob. I hope you have a great holiday weekend, and maybe, you know, maybe we'll call in again next week. I'll be in Pascagoula, though, going back to work. If I get through the hoops at the Northrop Grumman facility, I'll be working for union scale doing electrical work and trying to just build up my own war chest to get on out of here and help those as I leave.
Well, blessings upon you, Steady. Blessings upon you. Be well, stay safe, and keep in touch, please.
Thank you, sir. You do the same.
Bye now.
Bye. Yeah, bye, everybody.
Our good friend Steady, Michael Stettler, calling from the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans. I don't know how to put words to the admiration I have for what that man's doing, because I've seen him do it other places, too. Something needs done. He doesn't wait for someone else to do it. He gets up, and he goes, and he does it. It amazes me. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back. You want to jump in? We're going to run a break, and if you want to call in, I'll actually know who's on the phone. How's that sound? By the way, we're running 2-1 for Agnes to have Fridays off, by the way. I said, by the way, twice, didn't I? This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice. Yeah, a little New Orleans music. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once did Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
Yeah, there's a mythic place in our psyche for New Orleans, and you know, I think about it, and I think about the negligence with which the region was treated, continues to be treated by the Bush administration. Yeah, God, what was that quote a while back? I came down here to remind you that the federal government has not forgotten that you exist. We just don't give a damn. It just makes me want to scream. Lord, I think of a Jimmy Buffett lyric, the wino and I know, the coffee is strong at the Café du Monde, and the donuts are too hard to touch, and just like a fool, when those sweet goodies cool, you eat till you eat way too much. And do you realize there was every possibility in the world that they almost got away with it, and they might yet? Taking away all that hot, steamy, humid funk. and turning it into some white-breaded, cleaned-up, purdied-up Disneyland version of the Gulf Coast and of the alluvial Mississippi Delta. There's wrong. Somebody asked me the other day, what is sin to you? Well, taking away the juju, if you will, of those bayous and those backwaters, and taking that away would be a sin against the national identity of the region and this country. Lord, I think back to the birth of this nation a few years ago. Back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio, I interviewed the author of a book called Jefferson's Great Gamble about the Louisiana Purchase. And I'm reminded as we watch the recovery effort and the sleazy, crappy way that the people on the Gulf Coast are being treated by the Bush administration, and I remember something. And that is that after the Louisiana Purchase, there were still no plans to extend the vote to the people who had involuntarily suddenly become American citizens. And it was in New Orleans. Oh, what was the... Ah, daggummit. Wrong brain cell. It'll come to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be screaming in my sleep again. The general, the American military general, who it turned out was a traitor for the Spanish, who operated out of New Orleans at roughly the same time, and Aaron Burr, who just the birth of the new nation hardly over, and seeing where Thomas Jefferson was taking the country, giving up on it. And trying to put a band of people together to go and where did he want to set up his colonies across the Ouachita River, the Ouachita country, and Jefferson becoming so politically terrified of Aaron Burr that he trumped up all those charges against him. And it's not a far drive here in West Virginia to go over to a little place called Blennerhassett Island, where Burr stopped and described his plan. And by the time he got on board the flatboats on the Ohio and headed for New Orleans, the Jefferson administration had already decided that they were going to trump up charges against him and accuse him of trying to overthrow the United States. The same guy, bear in mind, the same guy, Jefferson, who had said, what? The tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. By the time he reached the presidency, had decided, I was having a bad day. Aaron Burr's committed treason. Fascinating. Just fascinating. And people out there say that American history is dull or American history is boring. Let's go to the phones and find out who I've got on this Agnes Free Friday. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's
Peter!
That guy. Yeah. Bob, you know, I so wanted to call in tonight and do a George Bush Easter message, but I just can't do a sequel to that. That was just one of those moments in time that I just can't get back.
No, the decider was a one-shot.
It really was. I just...
Holy quadriphonic.
Yeah, I've lost it, you know? It just really lost it. I had fragments of a Bush message, mind you. I had fragments. It involved Laura and George dying Easter eggs and... And you know, my poll numbers is getting pretty low, and it's affecting my egg dipper. And
my egg dipper's drooping.
Yes, and you know, back in the day we had Abu Ghraib, which kind of kept the dipper, you know, stirring the eggs, but I just still can't do that anymore. Anyway. But, you know, that's just so not, you know, the Holy Quadrifronic. That was just a one-time only. But I wanted to tell you such interesting news.
Yes?
Well, you know, the Baptists were boycotting Walt Disney forever because they had gay days and this sort of thing. In fact, they just ended that boycott in 2005.
Declared victory and went home, did they?
I guess they did. But Walt Disney turns around and now they've opened it for gay couples to get married at Walt Disney World in California in their fairy tale wedding program. And you can do it like for anywhere from $8,000 to $45,000. You know, it doesn't matter that it's not legal in California, that Walt Disney has opened it up for that. But I just thought that was interesting.
There's a buck to be made, Peter.
There's a buck to be made.
The law will not get in the way of the American corporate ambition. And frankly, we will have a free America when there are no second-class citizens, just as quickly as corporate America figures out there's a heck of a lot of money to be made out of it.
Well, there is. And here's what's really interesting. The Baptist Church was boycotting Disney, quote, because they were violating, quote, moral righteousness and traditional family values. But I want to tell you about what's in the... I rarely pick up a local newspaper, but I did today.
Yeah, you'll learn.
Oh, my God. The Baptists are just falling apart in Florida. In Holly Hills, Florida, the former Baptist pastor of Holly Hills, he's been arrested for scamming an elderly woman out of $80,000. And he bought an airplane, and the airplane cost $30,000. The church asked him to step down.
Wait, a $30,000 airplane? What did he buy, an ultralight?
It says here it's a...
I mean, like one seat and a Briggs & Stratton engine behind it hanging on
But it was purchased with church funds, and he used the church to make connections with... he gained the confidence of an 89-year-old victim who funded a lot of it through the church, and they've frozen the bank accounts of the church, and the Baptist preacher's being held in the Cobb County Detention Center on a $50,000 bond. And this is all at the same time that, you know, they're boycotting Disney, you know, is probably who's befriending that lady. But then also in the same page, you move over to Pensacola, and you've got another Baptist pastor going down in flames. Now, this guy, his name is Leon Rankin, and he begged...
Brother Leon!
Leon begged the parents... he molested their 16-year-old boy, and he was begging the parents not to tell the police, but he didn't know they'd already told the police they were tape recording it, and he's been arrested. He's surrendered to the police, charged with lewd and lascivious conduct of a child. He's a longtime sex offender, and he's been asked to step down from the church.
Back up. You don't just drive the bus past a line like that, Peter.
Which line?
He's a long-time sex offender.
Oh yeah. Let's see, it's not the first time. He had sex.
Can
with
wait?
Old boy.
Stop! You just stop that. So he was hired into the Baptist pulpit, and the deacons or the exalted noble Turks or whoever does the preacher hiring there.
Well, he apparently went through the 3-day or the 3-week...
He went to Ted Haggard School.
Yes, the Ted Haggard School for recovering child abusers.
Kitty diddlers, yeah.
Yeah, and what's really priceless about this, the name of the church in Pensacola is the Restoration Full Gospel Baptist Church.
Hallelujah, praise Jesus, put your hands upon the radio.
You know that congregation got down and just stormed for a while.
Oh well, you know, but I'm sure there's a deacon who's ready to come out and make a public statement. You know, we've had him in counseling for a while, and we can say for certain that he is 100% sexually interested in grown-ups now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh God,
just amazing to me. But you know, and thinking about, you know, you were talking about, you know, so much tonight. You know, Jesus and the crucifixion and all that. But you know, I gotta say, I don't think that, and I know you believe this too, that Jesus never intended
any of this.
He only intended...
Where did I say to build a water slide?
Exactly. And, you know, whether you call him Yeshua, but you know, but we just see the results of that, all this hypocrisy and carrying on in the church. But it's just so interesting. It's the Baptist church that seems to have the word. Is it because they're cut from this? Is that why they hate us? Is that why they hate gay folks so bad? It's because they're cut from the same cloth? Is that the problem?
How do you mean?
Well, let's take somebody who's obsessive compulsive. Okay, you know, someone who's obsessive compulsive in the
frequent hand washing, got to go back to the stove, make sure the coffee pot's off six times, that kind of thing. Yeah.
But then you have the quote good obsessive compulsive, and maybe they're like an ultra studier, and they go to college and they get straight A's and they become a surgeon, a brain surgeon, but that's compulsive.
Or a fry cook.
Well, maybe a fry cook, but it's compulsive, it's like a channel compulsive. But you know, I think they're probably really uncomfortable around obsessive compulsive who, you know, can't really focus it in, you know, a way that society approves of. And obsessive compulsive disorder is serious business. It's not a joke. I'm not trying to.
No. It's crippling in some instances.
It really is. And but don't you think the obsessive compulsive people who are obsessive compulsive in a way that society approves of look down on the obsessive compulsives who aren't able to channel it? I kind of think it's a cut of the same cloth.
Yeah, I do. And of course, right now we live in a country where apparently it is okay to be obsessive compulsive about how somebody else has sex.
Well, yeah, that's true, absolutely, and it always has been.
More so sometimes than other. You know, one of the things that just drives me bananas, Peter, is that in describing this in the intolerant culture in which we live right now, there are religious people, for a loosely used term, who will describe the closed-minded, bigoted, hateful, this era as another great, dig this, another great awakening.
Oh, I've heard those terms, Bob, and it's disgusting.
Because the other great awakening is something that happened, oh, I guess in the, maybe I'm wrong, but in the early 19th century in the United States, when everybody became really closed-minded and freaked out religiously, and, you know, panhandling preachers went across the country, ripping people off, and that was called an awakening.
Yeah. I have to agree. The dumbing down of America and the dumbing down of the church. Your interview the other night was pointing out this whole thing about the literal obsession with the Bible taking place. I can't wait to get a hold of that book, by the way.
Oh, you're going to have a fit.
Oh, I can't wait to. What's happening is the paperback version of spirituality has infested the whole church. It's, you know, name it and claim it.
Yeah, and it's got the paperback fundamentalist Bible has a picture of what's his name? Fabio, man of love, on the front, you know, with his shirt half ripped open. And look at Jesus.
Well, you know what they're doing now, Bob? There's another facet of this name it and claim it thing that's going on in the church. Now, it has to do with illness. Someone with cancer or severe arthritis pain, they'll tell you, just don't claim that pain. Don't claim.
We rebuke this pain in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We rebuke it and cast it out. Amen.
Right. And
sorry, I know how to do it.
So unfair to the person who's suffering of it, because you've got them in a position where it's because they claimed it. They're weak because they claimed it. So it all comes down to saying you're weak.
Yeah, it's your fault. You're sick.
And I'm rich, and I've got a Cadillac and a big
this
house.
This is
so
the.
I claim the good things, so I'm strong.
This is the fundamentalist version of universal health care.
Well, there you go too. There you go.
I gotta see while we're talking. I'm gonna hop on the tubes and see if I can find this thing real quick. Did you go to see the website Why Won't God Heal Amputees?
Yes, I did, Bob, and I looked at it for a few minutes after the show last night and intended to go back to it today, but I haven't read it in depth. I have a feeling there's some very good stuff there.
This is I had to, this is where I had to go. This is a direct quote on that website from Marilyn Hickey Ministries, okay? See, this is, and this is the way the insurance, this is an important discussion, Peter. This is how the insurance industry will co-opt the evangelical and fundamentalist movement. This name it and claim it garbage.
Like a wellness program sort of thing?
Well, what they'll, you know, you don't want a godless atheist universal health care because they'll take away your ability to have miraculous healing.
Oh, dear Lord.
So this is from Marilyn Hickey Ministries on the Why Won't God Heal Amputees.com website. Marilyn Hickey Ministries wrote, and I'm assuming Marilyn is a woman, not like Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
Although Marilyn Manson came from, oddly enough, came from the same the basic cultural backwater of this fundamentalist garbage, if I understand correctly, as did Sam Kinison. Quote, prayer is a communication system we have available to fellowship with our Heavenly Father and which activates His promises in our lives. No one can beat this system. It's quick. It's efficient, and it's available to you right now.
What happened to a lifetime of learning? And what happened to
standing
in BS?
It's a Ginsu commercial. There's more.
Right.
Prayer reaches our Heavenly Father instantly. Years ago, my mother's doctors found a tumor in her brain. When I heard the news, I was out of town, so I could not lay my hands upon her. That night, as fear swept over me, the Lord quickened Psalms 107:20 to my spirit. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I sent God's word long distance to my mother's brain. When she was x-rayed again by her doctors, there was no evidence that any tumor had ever existed. Hallelujah! Our prayers are swifter than any medical technique. Only born-again believers who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord can have a relationship with the Father, and prayer is the communication method. How glory you must use to develop that relationship.
Yeah, only true believers can tell you which coconut the dime is under. Yeah.
And you know, never mind the fact that maybe the x-ray machine screwed up.
Yeah, or the X-ray was read in India by someone who is half qualified. Do you know they do that now?
Oh yeah, they farm the radiology out.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's almost instantly they can read these things. Like, but it gets over, you know, however you scan one of those things to India, and it gets read, and they can get it back the results in minutes. Not necessarily read by your doctor; it's read by Abdul. Not that there's anything wrong with Abdul.
No.
Maybe Abdul would...
But if Abdul screws up, I want to be able to sue Abdul.
Exactly. Oh, this stuff is a shame.
But there really is, Peter, there are layers. This is a really foul onion. And don't think for a minute that the phalanxes and armies of bean counters and functionaries and lawyers and lobbyists that exist inside the insurance industry aren't sitting there waiting to co-opt this fundamentalist crowd to make sure that we don't have adequate health care in this country.
Well, that's a damn shame. I can certainly believe it. And they're also carrying this over to mental health and personal relationships. For instance, someone trapped in a very bad abusive marriage, alcoholism, abuse, et cetera, et cetera.
All you got to do is rebuke it.
Right, right. You don't claim that. That's the demon. That's the spirit of divorce. No, you don't have that in your life. You know, we don't have divorce here. You know.
Run off and get you a covenant marriage.
Right.
So. Well, that's like that line in the Alabama legislation from last night that says the Constitution is a function is based on the biblical covenant style. You know, what a load of garbage.
Well, I agree with you, but I fully believe in the separation of church and state, and I say to them, if they want to believe that in the privacy of their own churches, do it. But for God's sake, leave the educated people alone and stop this fundamentalist stuff. And I said it before on your show, you know, I would never say, you know, I'm so proud, I'm still in fundamental reading. I'm 45 years old.
I'll go you one further. It's not the educated folks that I'm afraid of them getting to. It's the children. because that's what these stupid, stupid pieces of legislation are about, Peter. It's about getting to children. And if you ever hang around little ones very long, you'll know that they are some very pragmatic people.
Jesus camp.
Yeah.
Have a see it, get it.
Yeah, get it, exactly, and get to, you know, you get to the children and start telling them that magic is real and you know, you don't get sick because of maybe, you know, toxic exposure to chemicals. Instead, you get sick because of demons. Mm-hmm. You get that into a kid's head, it's mighty, mighty hard to get it out of an adult's.
Right. Well, I'm sort of like Mommy Dearest. I mean, I'm not mad at Jesus. I'm mad at the dirt. And the dirt is these people in the church.
Only you. Not mad at Jesus. I'm mad at the dirt.
Just live different. I grew up in a gay bar. I learned lots of stuff. But I tell you, you know, it's no sense railing against Jesus. I mean, he's a historical figure. He's going to be here forever. But these bastards are just perverting every word he ever said. And it's great for you're right about the insurance companies. They're co-opting into that.
Sure.
Or maybe even starting it.
This stuff doesn't happen by accident, Peter.
No, it doesn't. And don't make me get on the IRD or whoever they are.
Oh.
You know how I love to go off on that thing.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, this is a good lead. I don't know. Maybe if more people observed Easter, and that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the program, by trying to remember the thousands upon thousands of people who died that horrid death, not just one.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's what makes Easter meaningful.
And your point was well made. Your point was well made. I got a phone call during your show tonight from a friend of mine in Austin. And, of course, Austin is a huge city, and they have big gay clubs in America.
Sure.
You know, it's not that gay folks despise, you know, there are lots of gay folk who are spiritual people that attend churches. Hell, half of them have positions in the church. But one of them,
well.
they kind of think, they kind of like to do little takeoffs on the whole Easter outfit bit. I mean, we just can't resist. So this club is having a huge Easter high heel competition.
Oh, no.
Yes, I would love to see it. And I've been to, like, Easter bonnet competitions at gay bars. It's just fabulous. I mean, you got these big Carmen Miranda fruit hats.
Oh, God.
Oh, I just would love to see how they decorate those shoes.
Oh, Lord.
But you know, you got
eggs, ribbons, bows.
Yeah, you gotta laugh.
As long as they're tasteful.
Yeah, as long as.
Now there ain't gonna be nothing tasteful about it, is there?
Well,
gonna be a little over the top.
Probably not. Probably.
So are you all set for sunrise service Sunday? I mean, have you at least got the logistics worked out?
Yeah, I did kind of work it out so that I don't have to have the sound system set back up in the church by 11 a.m. for the... I talked to him and I said, look, you're really just going to have to sing with the P-Nanner. I just can't set up a music track for you by...
Yeah, you can't have the six-piece rock and roll band this morning.
The cow patties off the bottom of the sound system from the field. And because we're doing it in the field, I know we're going to hit a cow patty somewhere. And
keep the preacher away from the mushrooms, would you?
Yeah. So, it's kind of set. Easter will be a long day, but
yes. Okay. You know, step one: wake Peter up at 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's a dual thing. It's actually the Methodist and the Baptist together. We do it alternately. One year the Methodists do the sermon in the pasture, and the Baptists serve breakfast at their church, and then we reverse it the next year with the Methodist.
Don't let the Sunnis and the Shia hear about it. They're liable to work out their differences.
I know. So we always like it when we don't have to hear the Baptist guy go on. So this is the Methodist version, so we don't have to hear the little Baptist guy go on about all that stuff. So,
Well, happy Easter to you, Peter.
Thank you, thank you. And I'm just crushed. I'm not going to get to do the high heel contest, but that's all right.
No, another year.
Maybe I can get pictures.
You get pictures. We'll put them on the website.
Okay.
See ya.
Love you, dude. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it. Thanks, everybody. It was a wonderful time this evening. Brian Reznor announced Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of the programs on the Horn. He's got a fundraiser going on. It's time you did the right thing if you haven't already. Many thanks to our moderators in the chat room. Many thanks to our news ninjas on the blog at headonradionetwork.com. And always, 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 RMR. It's all for you.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Gonzalez in trouble as tide turns against Team Texas. Panel OK subpoenas an attorney probe. For wary conservatives, all eyes on Bush. Deal reached on UN sanctions versus Iran. President rejects healthcare proposal. Giuliani will miss firefighters' events. Giuliani law firm lobbies in Texas for Chavez-controlled Citgo. The new Dean political plan. Gingrich says it's too early to campaign for 2008. Web censorship spreading globally. Chertoff warns of web of terrorism. McCain draws heat from Vet Group and Club for Growth. World may get greener, then wilt, due to warming. Israel not enthusiastic about strike on Iran, says Olmert. And Al-Qaeda number 3 says he's planned 9/11 and a hell of a lot of other things. Oh, we're going to rip into this one, folks. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.